Hello, 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 what is happening? Welcome back. Yeah, I've been gone for a while. I'm so sorry. You know how I be doing. So, for those of you that are new, welcome to Perspective Wisdom, where we get up here and we talk about things and we have conversations and we take in-depth looks and analysis without, you know, all the crazy rhetoric and stuff like that. And we just give, you know, information from a different perspective. So, with that being said, today is going to be a nice little show, right? Today is my uncle's birthday. Now, my uncle passed away, so this is going to be the second birthday without my uncle. Now, the reason why, oh, sorry about that. That's the little tugboat, you know, they got to get going and stuff. Oh, yeah, this is an authenticity type podcast. So all the sounds and stuff you're going to hear, I'm not filtering any of that stuff out. I like authenticity because I listen to my own stuff, too. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, my uncle was essentially the father figure that I had in my life, and he taught me a lot of things. And I didn't realize that he taught me so much until I got older. And I started applying these things with my kids, my family, the people that I come into contact with, and so forth and so on. And the things that I'm doing is just things that I've seen him do. And I kind of mimicked a lot of that stuff. And over time, you know, to see other people smile, to see other people laugh, you know, feel good because they're not in a bad position financially or something like that. Like, that is more satisfying than any other thing in the world. To me, and to him too. And what he taught me was, he taught me how to be magnanimous and altruistic. And, you know, I thank him for that. I thank him for that every day. So today, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. So, as a kid coming up, right? You know, growing up in the single parent home, and in those days it wasn't a single parent home, right? In those days, because I was born in 83, so I grew up in the 90s basically. And in those times, you know, we were either latchkey kids or coming off of being latchkey kids, or we had multiple people, multiple different family members living in the household with us. So it was my mom, me, my oldest brother, which is 12 years older than me, and my sister, this is 10 years older than me, and my grandmother. And we all stayed in the same house, two-bedroom house, right? So my grandmother, she took the couch. She loved sleeping on the couch. She did not want to sleep anywhere else. She did not want the room. So my uncle June, he had the room. And then my oldest brother, Willie, he had the other room. So with that, you know, the rest of us, we either slept on the living room floor or slept on the couch next to grandma, and that's just what it was. And my mom, you know, every now and then she would be able to get a place, you know, based off of the job she was able to get, and we would have a place for a little while. But we got evicted quite a bit for financial reasons, right? So we just decided to all live together in that apartment, and it was a lot more financially feasible for us than anything. Now, did we have troubles? Yeah, we had troubles. But let me tell you something about June. June, at every day, never fails, he would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. He would do his little workout. He had this thing called a bull worker. And it's like this, I don't know what you call it, like a spring or something. And you put it on like the strings. You put the straps around your thighs, and you open your thighs, and it's supposed to help you with the tension. You know what I'm saying? It's like a resistance band. But back in those days, it would tell you how much you could squeeze it. It would give you the pounds of pressure that you could squeeze. And then you could also pull it, you know, like opening up, like you open up cereal. So you would do it with your arms, and he would use that. It was called a bull worker. He would use that. Then he would do his dips. He would do his push-ups. He would do his crunches. And then he would get himself washed up, and he would head off to go to work. Now, he worked for the city, right? And you know what the city does. They come up, pick up trash, tidy up the grass and the public parks and things of that nature. That's what he did. So he would make a smooth, now to get this, he would make a smooth $400 to $500 every week. This was in the 90s. Now, I know y'all don't know what that means, for real, but understand that in the 90s, you making $400 to $500 a week was lovely. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could live a good life. But let me tell you why we couldn't live the life that you're thinking about. Because he would take care of so many people. He would pay people's rent. He would pay people's light bills. He would make sure we had food and then pay our bills and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, I've talked about him before on this podcast. You have to go down. And I want to say it's A Great Man That Nobody Knows. That was one of the first podcasts I did, you know, in honor of his memory. But he had these things that he would do that would be against everybody saying, you know, they would say it would be against everybody, because they would be like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Don't you do that. And what it was he had a girl that he liked. And no matter what, he would always make sure that she had something. So whether that was flowers or chocolates or monies to do her stuff, you know, nails and that. So make sure that she had food in the fridge for her kids and whatnot. But he always loved this guy. He loved this girl till the day he died. And he died at 73 years old. He was 73. He would have been 75 today. So, anyways, with that being said, how he taught me how to be altruistic and magnanimous. He did things for the greater good. He didn't do it looking for recognition. Matter of fact, nobody knew he did these things unless they seen him going to do it, or they would ask him for some help, and they would try to get to him before he got to other people for the help. You know what I'm saying? So, right there, that's what that would be in it, and it was so hard for me to watch as a young one, as a little one, you know what I'm saying? But as I got to dating age, 16, 17 years old, those were the very things that I would do for the girls that I would like, right? And then when it came down to my dudes, I would always make sure that my dudes have everything they need. You know what I'm saying? If I got, you got. And that's the way that I carried it, 100% of the way. So it's more or less one of those things where you get taught something as a child, right? In the Bible, if you don't read the Bible or subscribe to the Bible or Christianity, any of those things, I'm not talking about it from a religious standpoint. I'm just talking about it from great advice. The Bible says, train a child up in the way they should go, and when they get older, they should not depart. Now, you stop right there. You take that little snippet, and that's what he did. He trained me up in the way that I should go. So when I got older, you know, some of the things that I would do was based off of the fact that I seen him do. Sorry. My bad. Got to roll up the window because it was getting a little chilly. But that's the stuff that I would do. And I would do those things because I seen him do it. But more so, I seen the joy that it seemed to bring to him. I mean, this man's face would light up when he was able to take her flowers. Because, you know, back in those days, they didn't really have delivery services where they could just deliver the soul. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm a step ahead of him when it comes to that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I send strawberries. I send chocolate covered strawberries. You know who you are. Anyways, I send chocolate covered strawberries and, you know, things like that. Like, but it just made him so happy. To see somebody else smile, to see somebody else, you know, just have that moment of feeling like somebody loved them. Now, did he ever get that in return? For as much as I can remember, no. And before you say, you know, well, why not, or any of those things. Well, number one, the stuff that he would get that would come from us, like me and my little brother and my sister and stuff like that. That's to be expected, because, you know, we're his niece and nephews. So he expects that type of stuff from, not expects it, but, you know what I'm saying? If it happens, oh, it's cute. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know y'all love me. But I'm talking about outside individuals. I'm talking about, you know, the woman that he fell in love with. Did he ever get that in return? And the best answer I can give you from what I seen is no, he didn't. She barely paid him attention. It's as though he was invisible. No. Let's not say invisible. It's as though he was a tool. And you know you only pull a tool out of the bag when you're trying to fix something. And then once you fixed it, or whether you fixed it or not, once you're done with the tool, you throw it right back in the bag. And that's what she would do with him. And it never changed how he felt about her. It never changed whether or not he was going to, you know, help her or help her kids or take care of her kids or something like that. It didn't matter to him. What mattered to him is she happy? Does she feel loved? Does she have a present for whatever holiday, you know? And then he'll worry about the rest later. That's something that he taught me how to do. He taught me how to look beyond people's proclivities, separate the person from the behavior, separate the person from the spirit, because sometimes they have such a good spirit on the inside, but that human nature, that flesh with the old folks and the religious folks like to call it, that flesh, it will rise up against you. And that is the greatest battle that you will ever have is with yourself. That internal battle between what's right and what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's spiritual and what's not, what's just flesh, what's carnal. We all have that battle, right? And some of us succumb to the spirit, some of us succumb to the flesh, some of us succumb to society, you know, but it's not a failure. You know, I was talking to my brother a little earlier, and the older brother, the one that's 12 years older than me, and I was talking to him and he was telling me about how he was a failure, and I said, "You're not a failure." And he was like, "Yes, I am a failure." I said, "You're not a failure because you haven't stopped yet. You're still going. And those things that you did, you know, when like you feel like you took an L, right? Okay, you did. So you took an L in this area. But guess what that L allowed you to do? That L allowed you to come to the younger folks and tell them what not to do because you experienced it first and foremost. You experienced it firsthand. And although they might have a different temperament than you, although they might have a different understanding of something than you, what you do with your experience is you let them know what your experience is, and they can make the correlation themselves. A lot of people don't give people that they're talking to enough credit. When you're looking at a situation and you're in the same situation as somebody who's talking to you, right? You don't necessarily apply the way that they're telling you to go about it, because you can see the temperament and the personality and character traits of that person who's telling you. So then you put it together and you say, okay, well, I don't have that temperament, so maybe this thing will be different. But thank you for the information, and I need to, you know, govern myself accordingly. That's how that works. But too often, you know, on this side, pause. Let me put a pause in there. On this side, we talk about how words are spells in every way, shape, fashion, and form that you can think of. So if you want to talk about, you know, casting a spell over somebody, if you want to talk about, you know, imposing your will over somebody, if you want to talk about speaking good things into existence, so it's good and evil, good and bad, you know, left and right, there's a duality to these spells that you speak, but your words have power. Whether you want to believe it or not, most of the time when you speak things, you speak them into existence, as you're speaking it, you change your own routine. That's why they have things like mantras and affirmations. It wouldn't be an affirmation if words didn't have spells. If words wasn't spells and words didn't have power. So that's that. Okay, pin out the conversation. When you're speaking to somebody, you got to understand what you're speaking to, and how you're speaking to them. So it would behoove you to be careful what it is that you say. And sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes it's your actions. Sometimes it's nonverbal communication, like your eyes or your facial expressions or just the energy that you're emitting in the moment. Now, to June's benefit. He was very good at nonverbal communication when it came to us. When I was doing something wrong, especially if I was treating, you know, at that time I was dating, if I was treating a girl wrong or something like that, his nonverbal communication was 10 times more effective than anything he could have possibly said to me. You know, so I picked those up, and he knew that I picked that up. He knew that I was a person who you don't have to corporal punish me. You don't have to beat me. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to put your hands on me. You just got to tell me what I did wrong and allow me the chance to fix it. There were some things that I would bump my head against the wall like 30 times on, but for the most part, no. Very few and far in between. 90% of the time, you can talk to me and tell me what's wrong and I'll try to fix it because I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to take nobody down, you know, with me if I'm going down. I'm not that type of person. I would rather fall on the grenade and save everybody else. And that just comes from, you know, stuff that I've been through growing up as a child, which we'll get into later on. But today is about June. Now, what June did for me, he did for my little brother also. My little brother is a year and a half younger than me. And that dude is hard-headed, right? So he has to bump his head against the wall 100 times. And then he's like, okay, well, it's not working, but I'm going to make it work. And he'll run through the brick wall, you know what I'm saying? And then when you expected him to run through the brick wall, he won't. He'll knock on the door and ask to be let in, you know, politely. June knew his temperament. So he knew how to talk to him. He knew how to encourage him and things of that nature. And that's what made June so special, is that there wasn't a person that he couldn't talk to. There wasn't a person that he couldn't, you know, understand. He may not always agree with you, but he could understand. He could understand your premise and where you were coming from and maybe the point that you was trying to make. And just the simplest things. Like, he has this one saying. Ready for this? I got to sit up for this one. He has this simple saying, right, that it took me. I'm 39 right now. It took me a good 25 years to figure out this saying. The saying is, old man used to be dead and gone. I'm going to say that one more time. Old man used to be is dead and gone. And I used to be like, what does that mean? Why does he keep saying it? Like, I don't get it. What it means is, what you used to be is dead and gone now. That old man that you used to be, he's dead and gone now. Now it's time for you to be the new person. Walk in the new person that you are. Walk in the new personality. Walk in the new character traits. Walk in the new upliftment. Walk in the fact that you done learned all of this stuff and you done made your mistakes, but now you a new man. So that old man you used to be, he dead and gone now. And when I got that, right, I took it back to him. And this is like right before he died, I want to say. Because when I came out here, okay, pause. When I came out here, when I moved back from Georgia, because I left to go to California for the military, then moved to Georgia, then I got here. Which is Virginia, I'm sorry. When I got to Virginia and I came back and I said, hey, listen, I'm buying a house out here. I will be back in 28 days, 30 days at the most. And, you know, I'm going to bring you to the house so you can see it and this, that, and the third. And he was so proud of me and all of that type of stuff. And, you know, incidentally, he died. Just the natural causes, you know what I'm saying? Nothing crazy. But what I think he died of the most was loneliness. And because that time we was deep into COVID, when they put him in the hospital because he had a stroke, they said he had somewhere around 13 strokes. So he had a stroke, the last stroke that they caught, and they took him to the hospital. And when they took him to the hospital, they didn't release him and they didn't let us like come in there and see him a lot because of COVID, right? So he just kept saying he wanted to go home. He just wanted to go home. He didn't want to be in here with these people who didn't care about him and who didn't love him. Those were his words. And a couple of days after that, he passed, right? So it was kind of crazy because, you know, let's take this in a different branch. It was kind of crazy because you always hear about people dying of loneliness, but you don't necessarily understand it until it touches your base, until it comes to your home, your family. Then you feel it a little bit differently, and you understand how much your presence means to that person, whether they can say it or not. You know, people do a lot of mental gymnastics to try and not understand that some folks are just not articulate. Some folks just can't articulate how they feel about you, but they know that they feel that way about you. So they try to show you in the best ways they can by wanting to be around you in certain aspects, right? And he wanted to be around us all the time, even if you don't talk. If you just sit there and watch TV, or you just sit there and laugh and joke, or you can just sit there and be quiet. He wanted to be in the people that loved him presence. So
But that lesson of old man used to be dead and gone was like it. So when I brought it back to him, right, and I said, "Is this what you meant by old man used to be dead and gone?" He had the biggest smile on his face, cause that meant him and my grandmother would never tell me when I'm right. They would never say when I'm right about something. Like when they're trying to teach me a lesson, they would never say, "Collins, you got it. Collins, you're right," or any of those things. Nope. You know what they do? They smile and they keep moving. And again, this is where, you know, I get a lot of my philosophies from when I say, like, words are spells. I'm telling you, words are spells. And to be careful with your words, because they were careful with theirs. They didn't speak when they didn't need to. There was no need to speak. If I can tell you yes, if I can tell you I love you with just a smile on my face, if I could tell it to you by the gingerbread that I bake from scratch, that's me telling you I love you. That's me telling you I care about you, right? And so with that being said, these are things that June taught me, you know, and I had to see it from a male figure. Now, obviously, we're always going to have the female figure that's teaching us, because I had an old school family, and in an old school family, the women are the teachers, the nurturers, and, you know, they're the ones that bring you back to health and that teach you, you know, principle things. But the men help you to stand on that principle. The men help you to guide you and make sure that you can stand on your own while simultaneously taking care of other folks who might not be able to reciprocate any of the things that you're doing for them. So with that being said, June was a great man. And I don't know how he knew, but he knew what he needed to do to teach me and my brothers and my sister. Now, the part that used to kill me is the fact that because he was not aesthetically pleasing to the eye of the main of society, then that meant he was invalid as a human being. That meant that he held no merit. That meant that somebody was always going to feel like he's trying to attack them, or, you know, just people would do the most. And one thing it is about this society is when you're good looking or beautiful, you know, according to mainstream society, your life is significantly easier. I watched that man have to go through things that a handsome man never has to go through. And a lot of it, like, a lot of it didn't have to do with women. It had to do with getting jobs. It had to do with going into grocery stores and things of that nature. And I watched him live a very hard life. And then to live that long, if you live that long, right, if you live past 40, 50 years old, you begin to waltz into this changing of the eras, this the in-between, because you're coming out of the social norms from past and you're not quite at a social norm for what is to be the future. So you're in that space, that airy space where things changed, but they haven't. Things are accepted, but they're not. Things are not accepted, but they are. And you don't know what's what. So it causes you to isolate yourself away from a lot of people, especially when people are stuck in their ways. Now, June was constant, right? He was consistent about how he operated, what was his foundational principles and things of that nature. But as the world changed, sometimes consistency looks as stagnation. It looks like the same thing, but it's not. He was very productive. He was very productive when it came to raising and rearing children, too. And so, you know, I have a TikTok, and I was talking about on my TikTok, why is it so bad that a man raise another man's kids? Because it ain't just that man's kids, right? Two people came together to bring those kids into the world. But if it takes a village to raise a child, why is it so frowned upon for a man to not necessarily step in, just to help raise the kid? And that's what my uncle would do. So the girl that he had a crush on, right, she had 7 kids. And my uncle would play and laugh and joke with each one of them. You know, sometimes he'd give them like $5 or $10 a piece so they could go to the store, you know, and we had penny candy back then, and it was actually a penny. Like, you could actually go get 5 Tootsie Rolls for 5 cents. So, you know, to give somebody $5 or $10, oh my God, they was in there coming out with brown bags of candies and chips and, you know, freeze cups and some of everything else. Because not only did we have the candy lady, but we had this this ice cream shop. The ice cream shop was called High's Ice Cream Shop. And when you go to the ice cream shop, they had a penny candy, row. And they had 5 cent candy roll, you know, bubble gum and things of that nature. And they also had ice cream, obviously. And so you get you an ice cream cone with 2 scoops for 25 or 35 cents. And those are some of the good days, you know, when you would see that happen. Because now, don't get it twisted. For everything that he did for her family, you know, her kids, he would do for us. He never left anybody out except for himself. And by today's standards, y'all would say, you know, he needs to learn how to love himself and so forth and so on, right? The self-love cliche. But who's to say that he didn't love himself? And that's how he knew how to give love in so many different ways. He wasn't as broken as everybody tried to make him out to be. And the way the society tried to make him out to be. But that man taught me to be everything that I am today. And most of the things that I am today, only a few close people know. Only a few close people know my accomplishments or the things that I've done to help people, the things that I continue to do to help people. And at the end of the day, I have to suck up and understand that at the end of the day, nobody's going to care about what I do to help them or how consistent I am to stand by them and, you know, go through the pain and the muck and the mire of whatever it is that they're going through. It's not for them to reciprocate. And it sounds like I'm giving them a pass, right? Sounds like I'm giving them an out. But I'm not. I'm not giving them an out. I'm saying I can separate the person from the behavior. And I can understand that their behavior is not indicative of the person that they are. Now, does that mean that I have to continuously subject myself to the person that they are or the behavior or a combination of both? No. No, no, and no. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do for the greater good because I can see what needs to happen. And when you can see what needs to happen, that's something whole totally different. So with that being said, this is how we're going to end this. Happy birthday, June. You are a great man in the flesh. And I know you're even a greater man as the spirit. I know you watch over me. I know you lead me in the directions that I need to go. And I know that it's you chastising me when I do something wrong. And I get that instantaneous feeling of guilt and remorse, even if nobody knows what I did wrong. I appreciate the man that you were to me. And I appreciate how you helped me grow up to be a man. I understand what it means to be a man by watching you. I'm not taking anything away from my father, as that I only met my father for 2 days, and 3 months later he died. But I needed to meet him enough to get the animosity and the hate out of my system, and which I did. But it doesn't take away from any of the teachings and the foundational principles that you gave me that help undergird me as not only a man, but as a person, and enable me to accomplish the things that I've accomplished, graduating, you know, degrees, certificates, trades, businesses, all types of things. But above all of that stuff, that there's self accomplishments. I've been able to help people. I've been able to pay people's bills to keep them from being evicted or their lights turned off. I've been able to put food in refrigerators. I've been able to feed homeless people. I've been able to sit with homeless folks. I've been able to help people in ways that I would have never dreamed. But I was able to do that through your teachings of being a magnanimous man and an altruistic man. So even in the face of adversity, even when things look terrible, even when I'm going through it in the worst type of way possible, I can still take some time to help another person, to give a person a smile. So thank you. Happy birthday.
I will talk to y'all later. We'll dive into some more topics, you know, the usual later on. But for today, I'm going to reserve this day for one of the greatest men I ever came in contact with. Peace.